Chapter 15. The War's Failing Heart. Dawn. In the war's opening phase, the Grand Borealis Strategium in the heart of Bab Bastion had served as the primary nexus of Imperial command. From the moment the first salvo was fired at the edge of the Sol system, everything had run through the Strategium. Its spire rose above the rest of the Palatine Ring, the most princely castle in the district that circled the Sanctum Imperialis. Depending upon one's perspective, Bab Bastion had either flourished or suffered aesthetically with the Praetorians' preparatory efforts, just like the rest of Terra. Long before the arrival of Horus's armada, it was barnacled with gun nests and defence turrets, encrusted with reinforced masonry and ablative plating, and spined with input-output Vox relays that would carry the Praetorian's commands to the billions of loyal ears ready to receive his orders. It was ugly to some, and reassuring to others, but to the man that commanded behind its walls, it was functional. Nothing mattered more than that. Functional. The word sounded like nothing, yet meant everything. In war, functionality was everything. On the level of individual soldiers, if your weapons functioned, you could kill with them. On the level of generals, if your logistics functioned, you could guide your armies and keep track of the war. From Bab Bastion, as the weeks became months, the Emperor's seventh son had waged his war. Rogal Dorn didn't fight on individual battlefields like the Khan and the Angel. He fought on every battlefield. His war was 10,000 wars, all playing out concurrently. The soldiers on the ground carrying out his orders, they saw the individual battles. From the Strategium, Dorn oversaw the entire siege. To many of the defenders in the opening days of the Solar War, the coming siege was still unreal. The blood being shed was muted by the distance and chill of the void. Who could really comprehend 30,000 lives lost in the cold dark around Pluto with the death of a single warship? And who could really process the reality of such losses when they took place dozens of times every single minute at a remove of 7.5 billion kilometres? Every phase of the war comprised of devastation on a scale that defied comprehension. The staff gathered in Bab Bastion during the war's prologue were the best-equipped souls to approach those questions and manage the answers. They were the finest war staff available in the forces remaining loyal to the Emperor, and as the war ground on, souring with every step closer Horus came to the Eternity Gate, the staff had evolved with the shifting conflict. Admirals and void commanders eventually made way for generals and advisers better suited to the protracted ground battles taking place. Through all these months, the Bastion was the central hive of military intelligence and imperial authority. The fact Bab Bastion still functioned was something of a marvel, given the unstable atmospheric conditions. The constant bombardment and the ash choking the air played havoc with the Imperial Voxweb, and communication was still down across many of the Inner Palace's districts. It held on longest within the Palatine Ring, thanks to the potency of the tech within Bab itself. Somewhat less encouraging, but no less essential, was that it also allowed Dorn to see which fortresses and fallback points were breaking, or already broken. He had known it would come to this. He'd accounted for it, planned for it. He'd run through the possibilities and the probabilities. War was full of vicissitudes, but the Praetorian of Terra was as prepared as a mortal mind could be. Frankly, after half a decade of calculations and simulations, it had been a relief when the first landings began. Since then, he'd watched the war unfold in a million reports and flashing location runes, across hundreds of thousands of streams citing casualty figures. He'd watched the probabilities narrowing day by day and hour by hour, resolving into fewer and fewer potential paths towards the future. It was all coming to a point. All those incalculable figures had been counting down to this. The beginning of the end came with the sundering of the ultimate wall. The moment Legio Mortis breached the wall, Horus had his fangs at the Emperor's neck. The inner palace was vulnerable, even before the War Master had flattened whole regions from orbit. The Palatine bastions were besieged now, half already fallen or evacuated, and the Horde could no longer be held back from the Sanctum Imperialis, only slowed. His voice was just one of many echoing off the arched walls of the Grand Chamber. The most authoritative voice, but ultimately just another tone blending in with the others relaying orders. The chorus was backed by the humming of tactical hololiths and the clanking of high-grade cogitators, overseen in turn by a numerous coven of Martian adepts charged with sacred rites of maintenance. The Praetorian of Terra stood in the core of the Grand Borealis Strategium, washed blue by the light of tactical hololiths, playing 100,000 games of regicide at once. Information flashed across his unshaven features, bathing his eyes in figures, numbers, runes. He looked from screen to screen, map to map, always thinking, always processing, always speaking. He gave a contiguous series of orders, pausing only to breathe. Sometimes, often, he knew those on the other end of the Voxlinks weren't hearing his orders. He still issued them just in case. More regions of the inner palace fell dark, day after day, with greater interference on the VoxWeb and fewer replying voices. It didn't matter. There was enough functionality to make perseverance worthwhile. It was really the only option. His voice was strong but undeniably raw. After doing nothing but relaying commands over the VoxWeb for almost 9 days, he hadn't slept. He hadn't left his post once, and only rarely, even before this latest marathon of effort. But he ached to fight. He wanted blood on his gauntlets. He wanted to swing his blade and feel the immediacy of victory, of cutting a foe down, of achieving something tactile in this endless grind. The urge was fierce enough to be a constant temptation, but he refused to give in to selfishness. If he abandoned his post, millions of soldiers across the inner and outer palaces would lose their best chance of survival, and, colder but more tactically relevant, would lose their cohesion as part of Terra's defence. Dawn was the voice in their ears and the eye that guided them. Every regiment, every warband, every platoon was a cell in an evolving, shifting, breaking system. He needed them to play their parts in the wider siege, delaying the enemy here, crushing potential reinforcements there, sacrificing themselves for the sake of this, rallying and retaking territory for the sake of that. The more enemies he could keep in the outer palace, the longer the inner palace could hold. Tens of millions were dying for the sake of that unassailable truth. Without hesitation, Rogel Dorn fed their lives into the grinder. "My lord," came the voice of Arcamus behind him. The Strategium was shaking. It was always shaking now, its shields trembling under the bitter caress of artillery. Several of the officers around Dorn staggered. It was more than just artillery and titans out there, raining fire against the walls. Every scan came back laden with signifiers of creatures that defied naming conventions. Demons, they were called, but the term was imperfect to the point of mockery. Not that it made a difference. The endless army laying siege to Bab Bastion was full of things that shouldn't exist. The Praetorian standing command was to only be interrupted by intelligence of great import, but he was mid-report from the colonel in command of the Magister's Reach District to the north of the burning Meru Bastion. Dorn was weighing the logistical question in his mind of what to do with the colonel's forces and where they might best be deployed. His instinct was to use them as skirmishers behind the Horde's vanguard, letting them inflict what damage they could before Magister's Reach was overwhelmed by more forces coming in through the ultimate wall's ever-widening breaches. Dorn told the colonel exactly how she and her 6,000 soldiers were going to sell their lives. Then he accepted the officer's acknowledgement, approved of her stalwart tone, and turned to Arcamus at his back. Speak. Already the Primarch was calling up a hollow of the wasteland around Avalon Bastion. If he could spare a small force, he might gather survivors in the ruins, and they could move to intercept...
It is your brother, Lord, said Arcamus.
Vulcan was gone, and the Khan was dead, or so close to death that it made no difference. That left only one brother who would be contacting him, and his voice would be a welcome one, though the news would not be. Dawn summoned 8 nearby officers, giving orders for each of them to relay in turn to other bastions and resistance holdouts. With these urgencies taken care of, he rested both gauntleted hands on the central hololithic table and nodded to Arcamus. The hollow flared into being. His brother had a spear through one of his wings. The angel was on one knee, not in genuflection, but to bring himself low enough for medicaes to work on him. Sanguinius knelt in a ring of attendants, both of his arms outstretched, with several robed adepts working on his armour. They hammered plates back into shape and fused damage closed, while a Legion apothecary, one of Dawn's own imperial fists, Rogel noted with distracted pride, was using a surgical saw to cut through the metal spear that was lanced through the angel's right pinion. Sanguinius raised his head, staring at Dawn through a long fall of blood-stained hair. No idle talk between the two of them these days. Necessity and exhaustion had pared down their fraternal bond to the most ruthless basics. There was no one else that Dawn could rely on, the way he relied on the brother kneeling in hololithic form before him. The Praetorian was the general of the Imperial defence, but Sanguinius was the symbol. Wherever the angel flew, the defenders rallied. Wherever the angel fought, the War Master's forces tasted defeat. Dawn tracked his brother through the war in scraps of vox chatter and flashing runes on maps, day after day after day, in a chronicle of battles won and lines held. And here it was. Dawn had known this moment was coming since the very beginning. The moment that marked the end.
They're here, the angel said. They gather before the Delphic battlement, horizon to horizon. Father's shield is failing. They will be at the walls come sunrise.
Now of all times, Dawn's formality abandoned him. He found himself speaking, surprising himself with nakedly honest sentiment.
I gave you as long as I could.
Sanguinius gazed at him.
You of all have no need to say such things. No soul has done more.
There speaks the angel's humility, Dawn thought. As if Sanguinius and the Khan hadn't been out in the trenches since the skies first darkened with dropships. As if the human and legion defenders weren't enduring unspeakable vileness and sacrificing their lives. But no, Sanguinius was not so ignorant.
He does not speak so out of humility, Dawn realized. He speaks out of a brother's love.
The Praetorian needed no recognition for his efforts. He'd never craved praise or thrived on acknowledgement. Nevertheless, in this moment between brothers at the end of everything, he was warmed by Sanguinius's words. That warmth faded with the angel's next question.
Any word from Rabuti?
Dawn was aware of the attention on him. Officers, adepts and menials across the strategium watched him with hopeless eyes.
None.
Then Gilliman will not save us.
The angel grunted as the apothecary pulled the broken spear from his wing. Neither brother spoke as Sanguinius stretched his wings, rolling his shoulders to restore some flexion.
But he will avenge us.
Dawn didn't know what to say, when nothing seemed worth saying. He was not made for exchanges like these. Many thought him cold in these moments, even heartless. But he was neither. It was purely that defeat was alien to him, as was the quality of emotion shining in Sanguinius's gaze. What was worth saying when no words were necessary? What did one say to a brother you barely knew, who had nevertheless fought beside you from the beginning to the end? Sanguinius had the answer without even needing to consider the question. Farewell, Rogel. The angel rose to his feet, and the hollow tracked upward with him. If we do not meet again in the flesh, know that it was an honour, being your brother. The Praetorian nodded to the angel, wanting the right words, searching for them and not finding them. The silence stretched out. It dragged. Sanguinius smiled, knowing. The hololith blinked away.